Chapter 35, God's Special Plan for the Jews. After many delays, Paul reached Corinth, the scene of much labor in the past. Many of the early believers still regarded with affection the one who had first borne to them the gospel. As he saw the evidences of their fidelity, he rejoiced that his work in Corinth had not been in vain. The Corinthian believers had developed strength of Christian character and were now a strong force for good in that center of heathenism and superstition. In the society of these faithful converts, the apostles' worn and troubled spirit found rest. At Corinth, Paul's contemplated journey to Rome especially occupied his thoughts. To see the Christian faith firmly established at the great center of the known world was one of his dearest hopes. The apostle desired the cooperation of the church already established in Rome in the work to be accomplished in Italy and other countries. To prepare the way, he sent these brethren a letter announcing his purpose of visiting Rome and his hope of planting the standard of the cross in Spain. In his letter, with clearness and power, Paul presented the doctrine of justification by faith in Christ. He hoped that other churches also might be helped by the instruction. But how dimly could he foresee the far-reaching influence of his words? Through all the ages, the great truth of justification by faith has stood as a mighty beacon to guide sinners into the way of life. This light scattered the darkness which enveloped Luther's mind and revealed to him the power of the blood of Christ to cleanse from sin. The same light has guided thousands to the true source of pardon and peace. Ever since his conversion, Paul had longed to help his Jewish brethren gain a clear understanding of the gospel. "My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is," he declared, "that they might be saved." The Israelites had failed to recognize Jesus of Nazareth as the promised Messiah. Paul assured the believers at Rome, "I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh." Through the Jews, God had purposed to bless the entire human race. Among them, many prophets had foretold the advent of a Redeemer who was to be rejected and slain by those who should have recognized him as the promised one. But even though Israel rejected his son, God did not reject them. Paul continues, "I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people which he foreknew. At this present time also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Those who fall can rise again." Israel had stumbled and fallen, but this did not make it impossible for them to rise again. In answer to the question, "Have they stumbled that they should fall?" the apostle replies, "God forbid. But rather through their fall salvation is come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be, but life from the dead?" It was God's purpose that his grace should be revealed among the Gentiles as well as among the Israelites. "Hath not the potter power over the clay, of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor, and another unto dishonor?" he inquired. "What if God, willing to show his wrath, and to make his power known, endured with much long-suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory, even us, whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles?" Notwithstanding Israel's failure as a nation, there were faithful men and women who had received with gladness the message of John the Baptist and had thus been led to study anew the prophecies concerning the Messiah. The early Christian church was composed of these faithful Jews. To this remnant Paul refers, "If the dough offered as first fruits is holy, so is the whole lump, and if the root is holy, so are the branches." RSV. Paul compares the Gentiles to branches from a wild olive tree, grafted into the parent stock. "If some of the branches be broken off," he writes, "and thou, being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, Boast not against the branches, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear, for if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. All who believe are the true Israel. Through the rejection of heaven's purpose for her, Israel as a nation had lost her connection with God. But God was able to reunite with the true stock of Israel the branches that had been separated from the parent stock. If you have been cut from what is by nature a wild olive tree, and grafted, contrary to nature, into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these natural branches be grafted back into their own olive tree? A hardening has come upon part of Israel, until the full number of Gentiles come in. And so all Israel will be saved, for the gifts and the call of God are irrevocable. Just as you were once disobedient to God but now have received mercy because of their disobedience, so they have now been disobedient in order that by the mercy shown to you they also may receive mercy. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways! RSV. God is abundantly able to transform the hearts of Jew and Gentile alike. For the Lord will execute his sentence upon the earth with rigor and dispatch. RSV. When Jerusalem was destroyed and the temple laid in ruins, many Jews were sold as bondmen in heathen lands, scattered among the nations like wrecks on a desert shore. Maligned, persecuted, from century to century theirs has been a heritage of suffering. Notwithstanding the doom pronounced upon the nation, there have lived from age to age many noble, God-fearing Jewish men and women. God has comforted their hearts in affliction and has beheld with pity their terrible situation. Some who have sought him for a right understanding of his word have learned to see in the lowly Nazarene the true Messiah. As their minds have grasped the significance of prophecies long obscured by tradition and misinterpretation, their hearts have been filled with gratitude to God for the unspeakable gift of Christ as a personal Savior. What is needed in order to awaken the sincere Jews? Isaiah said in his prophecy, "A remnant shall be saved." From Paul's day to the present time, the Holy Spirit has been calling after the Jew as well as the Gentile. God shows no partiality. RSV, declares Paul, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, "The just shall live by faith." This gospel is equally efficacious for Jew and Gentile. When this gospel shall be presented in its fullness to the Jews, many will accept Christ. Only a few Christian ministers feel called to labor for the Jewish people, but to those who have been often passed by, the message of Christ is to come. In the closing proclamation of the gospel, God expects his messengers to take particular interest in the Jewish people. As many of the Jews see the Christ of the gospel in the pages of the Old Testament and perceive how the New Testament explains the Old, they will recognize Christ as the Savior of the world. To them will be fulfilled the words, "As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Some Jews, like Saul of Tarsus, are mighty in the Scriptures, and these will proclaim with wonderful power the immutability of the law of God. The God of Israel will bring this to pass in our day. As his servants labor in faith for those who have long been neglected, his salvation will be revealed.